I received an envelope a while back, and on it was stamped, "Don't believe anything but your own sense of right and wrong, the Buddha," which I guess was an attempt to quote from the Kalama Sutta, when the Buddha comes to see the Kalamas. And they tell him, "We've had many teachers coming through here, and we don't know who to believe. They say so many contradictory things." And the Buddha tells them, "Don't go by authority, don't go by texts, don't go by the idea, this is my teacher. Don't go by reasoning. But when you see for yourself that something put into practice leads to good results, is harmless, and is praised by the wise, then follow that. If you see that something when put into practice gives bad results and is condemned by the wise, don't follow that." So you have to take two things into consideration: your own experience and the counsel of the wise. Of course, how are you going to know who's wise? How much can you trust your own experience? And the Buddha is saying, if you can't put your stamp of approval on something until you've proven it, what's involved in proving it? Think of that story of the elephant footprint. A Brahmin comes to see the Buddha, talks to him, is impressed, goes back and tells a friend, "I just talked to that Buddha. He's really awakened, you know." And the friend says, "How do you know?" And the Brahmin says, "I see people coming to argue with him, and before they know it, they become converted to his Dhamma." It's like seeing a footprint of an elephant in the woods. You look at the footprint, and you know that's a large bull elephant. So the friend says, "I want to see the Buddha someday." So he goes to visit the Buddha, tells him what the first person had said. And the Buddha says, "Well, you know, that's not the right use of the elephant footprint simile. Do you know, want to know the right use?" And the person says, "Yes." So the Buddha says, "Suppose an elephant hunter goes into the woods, sees a large footprint of an elephant, but he doesn't jump immediately to the conclusion that that's the footprint of an elephant. Why? Because there are dwarf females with big feet. It might be one of those. But it looks likely, and the elephant hunter does want a big bull elephant to do some work. So he follows the footprints. He finds some scratch marks up in the trees. He doesn't immediately go to the conclusion that those are the scratch marks made by the big bull elephant. Why is that? Because they're tall females with tusks. Might be theirs. But still the footprints look likely. So he follows them. He finally comes to a clearing, and there it is, the big bull elephant. He sees him directly. That's when he knows that he's got this big bull elephant. The same way, when you're practicing, you get into the different levels of concentration. Those are the footprints. They're not proof, but they're likely. You continue, you gain different psychic knowledges. Those are scratch marks. Still not proof. It's when you've gained the Dharma eye, actually seen the deathless in your practice, that's when you know the Buddha really is awakened. So that's what's involved in knowing the Dharma, which means you can't just sit around and talk about it and read about it and think about it and say, I think that's right. If you really want to know, you have to commit. The question is, how much do you want to commit? Well, it's like that elephant hunter. How much does the elephant hunter want the elephant? Going through the forest is not an easy thing. But there has to be something that drives the elephant hunter to want that elephant. The same way, there has to be something that drives you to want to practice. This is why the Buddha said that conviction comes from suffering. Yes, that sequence of teachings on the causes of suffering called dependent core arising. But there's one version which doesn't stop with suffering. It goes on. From suffering, there, as a requisite condition, there comes conviction. From conviction, there comes joy. From joy, there comes gladness. Gladness, there comes concentration. So on up through the levels of the practice. There's a lot you have to do in order to prove the Dharma true. And the desire to want to prove the Dharma true, that comes from the amount of suffering you've gone through. There's a lot of people for whom life is basically okay. And they don't want to commit too much because they feel they're already okay, which is why we get easygoing Dharma. The Dharma that says, no, you don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. The teachers just say, well, what you do doesn't really make any difference anyhow, so lay back, take it easy. Or there's nobody who really knows what anything means. So don't be so grim, don't be so serious about your actions. Relax. That's for people who haven't suffered enough. Because when you have doubt about the Buddha, doubt about the Dharma and the Sangha, there are basically two kinds of doubt. There's the doubt that wants to know, but has run into an obstacle. And there's the doubt that really doesn't want to know. You look at what is involved in the practice, and it just seems so much. Again, that's the case where you haven't suffered enough. The doubt that wants to know comes from suffering. It's trying to figure things out and runs into an obstacle. Sometimes the obstacle is at places where the Dharma doesn't seem to make sense. But then you have to ask yourself, is that the real Dharma? Like those people who say, because of causes and conditions, you have no free will. Your choices really are not choices. But to make yourself feel good, you have to tell yourself that you are making choices. Try to do a good job. But if you have the freedom to decide whether or not you're going to see your choices as real or not, it shows that things are not totally conditioned by the past. That kind of teaching doesn't make sense. Fortunately, that's not what the Buddha taught. It's not the case that things in the past totally determine the present moment. In fact, he said that's evil view. It makes path to practice, path to the end of suffering, an impossibility. So there are things in the teaching that seem to be contradictory. Ask yourself, are these really reliable records of what the Buddha taught? Are there things that you're being asked to take on as working hypotheses, things you can't know? But that's the way it is in the world. Teaching about karma and rebirth. The Buddha didn't say he could prove it to you. The proof comes with the Dharma eye. In other words, you find the big elephant in the clearing. And before that, you've got to go through the forest. So in the meantime, the Buddha says you take these things on as right views. Notice he doesn't say right knowledge. You don't start with right knowledge. You end up with right knowledge. You start with right opinions. In other words, you take these things as working hypotheses. And you notice that they make you responsible. There really is rebirth. It really is determined by your actions. Then you have to be careful about how you act. Sweat the small stuff sometimes. Pay careful attention. But at the same time, realize it's not all sweat. After all, what are we doing is we get the mind in concentration. Rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. That's your energy along the path. That's your food along the path. And you've got some footprints. In other words, to prove the Dharma true, you have to be true. The test of what's genuine Dharma requires that you actually do the Dharma. This is why the Buddha said, this is how you get past your doubts. You look in the mind and see what kind of qualities there are there. When you follow this particular mental quality, what happens? When you follow that one, what happens? You see that unskillful qualities like greed, aversion, and delusion do lead to suffering. Skillful ones lift you from that suffering. But you have to be a reliable witness, which means you have to learn how to be honest and observant. That's what the Buddha said, what he was looking for in a student, to be honest and observant. And then his instructions to Rahula about looking at your intentions, looking at your actions, looking at the results of your actions. Those are basic instructions on how to develop your honesty, develop your powers of observation. So the good thing about the Dharma is you, in trying to prove it, true or false, become a better person. So if you really do want to put an end to suffering, you really want to know if there is such a thing as an end to suffering, this is what you've got to do. And some people resent the fact that it's something you've got to do. You're feeling forced into something. Well, again, the Buddha doesn't force you. The fact of suffering forces you. Some people resent that. Say, I didn't sign on for this. Well, you did sign on for it. You chose to be born. You're here. And you're going to say, well, I'll suffer some more. That's up to you. That's the kind of doubt that really doesn't want to know, doesn't want to be bothered. But you have to ask yourself, how much more suffering do you want? So the Dhamma does demand quite a lot, but it offers an awful lot as well. As the Buddha said, when you gain the Dhamma, the amount of suffering left you is like the dirt under a fingernail, as opposed to all the dirt in all the world, which would be the suffering left to you if you hadn't attained the Dharma. It makes that amount of difference, huge amount of difference. That's a huge relief. Because at that point you do know there is such a thing as the deathless. And the Buddha was right. Your conviction is confirmed. Your confidence in the Buddha is verified. And in the Dharma, and in the Sangha. There's an immense certitude that comes with that. Otherwise, you're whirling and swimming around in birth and death, as the Thais say. That's their poetic translation of samsara. Whirling and swimming, dying and being reborn. In that ocean of tears that's bigger than the ocean of the worlds. So ask yourself, when you have your doubts and the doubts are getting in the way, are they doubts that come from an obstacle that you want to get past? Or are they doubts that come from just not wanting to know and not wanting to be bothered? The first doubts can be discussed, they can be worked with. The second kind of doubt, that's something you've got to work on your own. But don't let yourself get waylaid by your laziness or by your resentment of the fact that there's work that has to be done. Whichever way you look, there's work that has to be done. Do you want to go with the people who say, well, it doesn't matter, but you still have to do the work? Or do you want to go with someone who says, you do the work and there's a definite reward?